Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Last night was the Iranian assault on Israel, which was repelled, and now Iran has to be ready for a return. Our guest is Fleur Hassan Nahum. She's the former deputy mayor of Jerusalem, currently special envoy for the Israeli foreign minister. Thank you so much for joining us. What do I call you? Deputy mayor? What do you want me to call you?
Just call me Fleur.
Okay. Thank you. thank you for joining us, Fleur. Sometimes people have longer titles than I know how to deal with. But it just speaks to what you've done. You were in Israel yesterday, right?
I was in Israel yesterday, and I can safely say that my flight was the last flight out of Israel before the airspace was closed, before the barrage of missiles that were sent. We weren't even sure we were going to take off because my flight was at 12:30, and they said from 12:30 they were closing the airspace. I've never seen an El Al flight board so quickly, I have to tell you. We made it out, and I'm hoping I can get home this week as well.
Yeah, Ambassador Berkovich said she felt like she might wake up to World War III, and I think more than a few people maybe had that sense. How significant was yesterday in the overall regional reality? And did the attack on Israel by Iran completely change or somewhat change the dynamic in the war on Hamas?
Absolutely. I mean, Vivian, who's a friend and colleague, is absolutely right. If Israel didn't have the defense systems that it has, and if America and the UK and Jordan, surprisingly, hadn't helped prevent a lot of those missiles from falling, and we would have had a mass casualty, which is, of course, what Iran intended. They're a genocidal, jihadi fundamentalist regime. Then we could probably be in World War III today. But thankfully, Israel has spent many years anticipating this because, you know, the Iranians have said many times that they want to destroy Israel. And so we have a very good defense system. And that's what basically, this morning, we can wake up still to a normal country. But any country in the world that would have 300-plus missiles thrown into its sovereign territory would have reacted perhaps immediately. And I think it just shows to Israel's strength that if there will be a reaction, it'll be something which is well thought out, well planned, and strategic, rather than impulsive reaction, which is what many countries would have been forced into.
Mm-hmm. The United States standing with Israel in a defensive posture, but not in an aggression or aggressive posture, that according to President Biden, you're now in New York City, are expecting what from the United States, and what is Israel expecting from the U.S.? And I'll ask you, what is Israel expecting from Canada?
Well, from Canada, unfortunately, we haven't expected much over the last 6 months. I think everybody in my country can agree that Justin Trudeau has stood on the wrong side of history. And so I'm very happy to see that at least they came out condemning the attack that Iran had onto Israel. What everybody will do now in the United Nations Security Council is another story. And I anticipate that the bad guys like Russia and China will veto any type of condemnation on Iran because they are in business with Iran. They want to take over the world with Iran. And what people seem to have not understood is that Iran is not just a threat to Israel. Iran is a threat to the free world. Iran wants to pull out Western forces of liberty from the region and want America out of the region and want a very dark fundamentalist ideology. And that's what Iran wants. And so eventually they will get to all the other free countries of the world. And I truly believe that Iran is the Hitler of today. and the whole world haven't reacted yet as Churchill did. We're still in Chamberlain mode.
Mm-hmm. So there's the war with Hamas, and we all remember with horror what happened on October the 7th last year. Yeah. And I spoke with Ambassador Moed on that occasion. That's the first time I had an opportunity to speak with the ambassador to Canada. And we've been witnessing all of the activities and everything that's politically and at the United Nations. We've also witnessed the situation on the ground, and I'm going to ask you for your thoughts because you're a special envoy for the Israeli Foreign Ministry. Not far, ever far from people's minds is the terrible reality for citizens of Gaza on the ground who have been used by Hamas, and but they still have they're living through a horrible situation. Things have to be done for these folks, for these people.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, yesterday, or I think this morning, Hamas have rejected yet another deal for a ceasefire. So Israel is really bending backwards, doing things it never thought it had to do or agreed to, in order to get back our innocent hostages, which include a one-year-old baby, his mother, his brother, and elderly and injured people. We have presented a deal which is a good deal, which involves a lot of sacrifice for Israel. And yet Hamas are saying no. So what I would think the world should do if they care about the Palestinian people of Gaza is pressurize Hamas through Qatar and other interlocutors, you know, follow the money, freeze the money, and make sure that they accept the deal. Because if they accept the deal, that means a ceasefire. And so I believe that the pressure has been put on the wrong party. We have agreed to numerous deals, and it's Hamas that keeps rejecting them. And so the people of Gaza would have absolutely no issues if Hamas simply accepted the deal and put them first.
Yeah, I remember interviews that were done with leaders of Hamas right after October the 7th, and they were asked in separate interviews, why don't you allow the people of Gaza into the tunnels so they can be safeguard themselves? And the response was, no, those tunnels are for us, not for them.
They don't care about them.
And they were also
an enemy.
Yeah, but they also said that the Gazans are refugees, and that's not their problem. That's not Hamas. They said, you know, Hamas leaders said, that's not our problem. They're the problem of the United Nations.
The Hamas have, over the years, have been weaned to accept money from the world without accountability, to use that money instead of investing in people, investing in tunnels and weapons and terror. And the world has turned a blind eye and continued to fund them with zero accountability. And this is what we have today, yeah. A monster of a terrorist infrastructure that not only do they not care about their people, but their people are part of their defense strategy because they know that Israel care more for their people than they do. And that's what's happening in this conflict.
Yeah, your heart bleeds for the civilians.
Absolutely.
Who are caught in the middle of this and are just trying to survive. And you know, the question is always, will I survive until tomorrow? It's not a question of World War III for them.
Their question is,
will I make it until tomorrow?
Israel is facilitating tons and tons and tons of aid. There's so much aid that the problem is not the supply of the aid. The problem is the distribution of the aid, which is in the hands of some very impotent United Nations bodies who have been receiving billions of dollars from the world for years. And instead of creating an infrastructure, they've given jobs to terrorists.
Okay.
And so this is part of the problem as well. But in terms of Israel facilitating aid, I don't think any country who is in a defensive war with the country that attacked first has done so much to facilitate aid to the civilian population as Israel does.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.